Italian Wine Podcast. Cin cin with Italian wine people.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward. My guest today is Gérard Spadafora. Gérard, where are you from? I'll let you explain that.
Well, I'm from France, from Bordeaux, and half parts from Montreal in Canada.
So you're, which was which? Dad was Canadian, mum was Canadian?
I know, my father and mum was Italian.
Oh, really? So you're a mix?
Yep.
A hybrid. Okay, so what are you doing in Bordeaux, and how did you get there?
So I'm in Bordeaux since 2006. I followed the one MBA program at INSEC Business School. INSEC Business School. And right after, I had the chance to take the position at Millésima. It's a Bordeaux wine, fine wine merchant. And they asked me to develop the e-commerce sales all over the world.
So which year was that when you started?
It was in 2007, right after the wine MBA.
Okay, so that at that time, the internet was obviously powerful, but online retailing and selling was maybe not so strong. How has that developed?
It developed really well because at that time it was not
so competitive.
Right, so competitive, as you said. And I mean, the business was easy because we were only selling fine wine. So the competition was not so hard on fine wine segmentation.
So when you say fine wine, are we talking about just Lafite, Latour, Petrus, or are we talking about good everyday wines as well?
No, Millésima was really specialized on top French wine, and then they expand the range to all the fine wines from all over the world.
So like Sassicaia from Italy and Barolo.
Yep, and the fine wine from USA or Chile or Australia, everywhere in the world.
Who were the clients for those wines? Who was buying, coming onto Millésima, buying those wines?
It was only a private customer, I mean private individuals. Wine connoisseur, because most of them bought the wine en primeur, for the Bordeaux wine, of course.
So they were already buyers of fine wine, they knew what they were doing.
Yep, and they were really into, buying fine wine from all over the world. So it was a great business for fine wine.
So how much do you know about your customers? Obviously, it's an online business. Do you speak to them directly? Did you host any events to get to know them personally?
Yeah, of course. We were also organizing wine tasting in different places in the world, large cities.
Such as?
London, Hong Kong, Singapore, New York, and of course, Paris. And we were also really active by creating content in 2009, because at that time we hired a wine ex-wine journalist, and he was specialized on videos. So at that time we were offering a report, a small video report, 4 to 6 minutes to the wineries to present, who were behind the wine.
Oh, that's interesting. So how did they react to that? Was it still quite new then to ask? Now wine producers have become almost like rock stars. They're always online, they have videos and all the rest of it. So was that quite pioneering then?
Yeah, we were a pioneer, as you said. And the customer was really happy. They were sending email or calling us to say thanks, because thanks to you, we had the chance to discover the wine we were buying for years. So it was great. They were really interesting because we were shooting the videos in French and then dubbing in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and so on.
It was a great idea. Who came up with that idea?
I was looking for what happened in the USA at that time, and it was booming inbound marketing. So it was the way you create content to attract the right people.
So you're doing online shop and you're creating content in terms of video, audio, and also you're running events as well.
Yep.
So for those events, how would they be structured? Was it very formal wine tasting, or was it friendly? Did you have to wear a jacket to turn up? How did it work? Go on, describe one.
Yeah, it was really informal, because we asked the wine owners, the chateau owners, to come with the wines and to taste the wine, to serve the wine to the client. So it was really sympathetic, because the wine lovers could talk to the winemakers and
directly.
So on. It was great.
So it's like music lovers meeting rock stars.
Yep, Without rap music.
Yeah, okay. So in terms of, so how are things now in terms of online marketing and retailing in the wine industry in general, and how is it for you personally in your day-to-day?
So I can see a lot of difference coming from countries because, for example, UK is really in advance in terms of online selling, which is not the case for Italy, for example. Or even in the USA, I mean, most of the online selling are made by the wineries, so we call that the direct-to-consumer. So I can see that the markets are really different depending on the cultural differences.
And the law as well.
And the law, regulation, and so on.
So, you know, UK pretty unregulated and US incredibly regulated in terms of alcohol.
So unfortunately, if we talk about online business worldwide, there is no recipes, global recipes.
There's no one single formula.
Yeah. You have to adjust your marketing strategy, you have to adjust your range of wines, you have to adjust the way you talk to the customer according to the market.
So you talk to different customers in different ways according to where they are. So give me a couple of examples of extreme examples of the same wine going and it's going to be sold to say an American or someone from Asia or someone in Europe. What's the different pitch?
At Millesima we had the chance to sell only fine wine. So thanks to that we are talking only to affluent customer, and the affluent customer are more global. So it was easier, which is not the case if you want to sell, an affordable wine or a premium wine. In that case, you really have to adjust the speech, the information you will give to the people. For example, in the USA, you must be really educated and having something entertainment. But if you talk to the UK market, which is, according to me, more knowledgeable about wines, they want something more deeper in the roots of the winery, the way you treat the grapes and so on. So it's really different.
Do you get questions about organics and biodynamics? I know fine wine hasn't always been associated with that, even though some of the most famous estates in the world are biodynamic, like Romani Conti, Domaine Le Fleuve, etc. It was in the Umbrecht, and go on and on, Ridge, whatever. How do they approach you about that sort of situation?
A lot of questions about winemaking techniques and so on. And we had the chance at Millesima to have a team of wine advisor, and they were very knowledgeable wine because they were tasting 2,000 wines per year. So they were able to talk to you about the winemaking process, the taste of the wine compared to different vintages. If you don't have people, knowledgeable people, you are in trouble, because if the customer talk to you, wants to reach you by social media or on the phone, you have to answer them in the right way.
Okay, so in terms of your staff, how big is it as a company? In terms of
large company,
yeah.
But of course, in the USA, a large company would be wine.com, the oldest on the market.
No, your company, in terms of how many staff, how big is it?
Oh, okay. At Millesima, we used to have 55 people.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
I'm not working anymore for Millesima. Yeah.
But but now, how big is the company?
My new company is E-Studios.
So E-Studios?
Yeah.
And where's that registered, E-Studios? Is it a French company or a...
Yeah, it's a French company based in Bordeaux, okay. But we offer our services to every wineries in the world, because we have the background to help them expand their notoriety, their brand awareness all over the world.
Okay, so, and in terms of marketing mix in different countries, how does that work? I mean, if you're selling the same wine or say you're talking about fine wine, for example, just say a top Italian Brunello or a Maremmolo or Sestigiaia or something like that, and you think you're going to make a sale, how do you approach that in terms of, say, someone from South America, someone from North America, someone from Asia?
Now, we can define different strategy depending on the countries. So, for example, if we talk about Brunello, for example, Argiano, now they can sell their wine direct to the customer by using a platform named Vincenz, and they can, for the first time in their history, they can sell the wine en primeur, like a pre-sale. And it's really new, for the Brunello di Montalcino. It's possible if you have a strategy according to the market. So this is possible for the USA, for example.
They've always been quite strong in the USA, Argiano. Had quite just to let you know, I did some work with them on organics a while ago. The guy who's in charge, but you must know Bernardino Sani, who's in charge of it. And they've always tried to be forward-thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. I didn't know that they were doing this en primeur. I think it's very interesting to hear the words en primeur and Brunello. It's quite a shock.
But you know, the same company won't make the same sales, premium sales in China, for example. Yeah. The market is not ready for that. So you would have to adjust your marketing strategy by doing something different, probably pushing more videos to this market because your wine is not well known as in the USA.
So you make it, like a video so people can familiarize themselves, see what the estate looks like and what the people are doing, and it makes them more confident when they yep. maybe buy wine they've heard of or seen has got maybe good scores in some of the wine publications. Yeah. Okay, let's give it a go.
It's the first video you have to do. I mean, talking about your wineries and scores and so on, your history. And you also have to work with, I mean, KOL, key opinion leader or wine influencers. And you have to choose them in the right way because you can have some trouble. And thanks to those people, you will adjust your marketing, your messages to their audience.
Right, okay, so you're almost like, you're kind of doing the winery's job a little bit for it by anticipating and saying, listen, if we do making a film and we need to show this aspect of your winery because we know that this market loves history, for example, market loves. I mean, what about, often in fine wine, we kind of think that people don't care about organic or biodynamic farming. Is that changing?
Definitely. To make sure we have the right information coming from the markets, we use big data analytics system or tools. To know about what people are saying, what people are talking about in their markets, what they are looking for, kind of information. And thanks to those tools, we can come up to the winery and say, okay, on this market, your wine is not well known, and people are really interesting about knowing about organic, but it's not the same in another country. So thanks to big data tools, today it's easier to give the right answer to the right people.
When, and in your case, the right answer means that you're connecting a potential buyer with the product that he or she not only will buy, but hopefully will enjoy and will fulfill their preconceptions, if you like, of what the brand values of that particular brand are.
Of course, we like going direct, and I think it's the future. I mean, it should be in the present, but it's going to be the future. Depending on the strategy of the winery, we will adjust the strategy.
So in some ways, we often wine companies are a little bit backward because it's the rural and the countryside, and particularly Italy is associated maybe with having been a little bit slow off the mark in some ways online, not translating into English their websites, not great photos or whatever. Obviously, the bigger wineries, the sort of blue chip ones, would have been ahead of the game, I would have thought, in most cases. What changes do you feel that they need to make, even the top wineries, to stay ahead, talking about in terms of big data and using that as an opportunity with what they do and their public face?
It's a big change for them. Of course, they can hire some really interesting people, knowledgeable people to do that kind of job, or they can hire a marketing agency. It's full of a very good marketing agency now who knows about those big data tools and make great analysis to make sure you will reach the right people.
Do you think there's always a risk when you're, you know, the kind of idea of big data, that there are some people that fall through the cracks that don't fit into the sort of big data picture, and they could be maybe really, really traditional old-fashioned wine lovers that have been buying fine wine all their lives, and they actually like the idea of going online, ordering Sassicaia, for example, arriving at their door, they're so excited, they open the box. Are they going to fall through the cracks, or will they be picked up as well in the big data matrix?
Big data, it's really big, so you must make a great analysis. If not, you will make mistake, okay?
So give me an idea of how a mistake may occur when you're looking at big data.
For example, if you don't go deep in the data, you can just have some information coming from
superficial
professional.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes there is a lot of assumption coming from the professionals, and that will push you to make mistakes. So you have to go deeper. You have to go further to listen to wine influencers, to consumer, and then you will have the right information. You have to be careful with the big data.
But it sounds in one way kind of easy that you may just press a couple of different buttons, but also the more data you have, the more complicated it becomes.
Exactly. Yeah. So analysis, and I mean, to have people with good skill, it's really important to make it in a good way.
Okay, so what's your next step?
The next step is going to be to produce a wine documentary for wineries, but not for TV, but for the SVOD platform.
Which means?
So Netflix, Amazon Prime Videos, or Apple TV+, all those networks are looking for great content content, and they would love to have content on wine, gastronomy, food, lifestyle, I mean, you know, tourism. They would love to have those kind of great content to be displayed on the SVOD platform.
So your role in that would be consulting and advising on how, not obviously how the sunset is shot on by the TV cameraman, it's actually the bigger picture, taking a step back from that, saying, right, yeah, this is what we think appeals to these A1, whatever, consumers that are can afford to buy a bottle of Latour or Lafitte or whatever it is, yeah?
Two of my associates are ex-wine journalists from France. One is still working with the French TV, and another one used to be the chief editor of La Revue du Vin de France. So they know about writing a screen plan, they know about shooting, they know about making something appealing to American or appealing to Chinese people. And then it's going to be easier to spread the word, to have a great brand, large brand awareness in the market, thanks to the SVOD platform.
SVOD, that's quite interesting. Yeah. Okay, so you sound like you've got a really fascinating job that you really enjoy. You love crunching data. You've clearly got an artistic side to you in terms of you appreciate the really well-made video, A, because it's a well-made commercial tool, but also A, because it is also beautiful to look at, as well as informing and entertaining people. Plus, the bonus is often, like us wine journalists, we take great photos, we don't get paid much money for them, we don't really earn much money. In your case, you've got an economic model where it allows you to do what you enjoy, and in your view, connects consumers, high-value consumers, with the product that they associate to them, with quality and also with a story behind it, the romance, if you like, of wine. Alrighty, that's it. We're done, yeah?
Grazie mille.
Yeah, but it's really, you're the first person we've had, actually, that on the podcast who's got a really unique niche. Your career really, I can't really put you in a box. I can put you in about four different boxes, but not just one on its own. Yeah. So that's applause for you. It's canned applause, actually. No, so anyway.
Thank you.
I just want to say thanks very much to my guest today, Gérard Spatavoa. Thanks for talking to us about connecting high-value clients with high-value wines.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir.
Bonne continuation.
Merci.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to the Italian Wine Podcast. Our channels are SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and Himalaya FM. We're also widely available on other podcast apps. Our official website is italianwinepodcast.com, and that's all one word. If you're using iTunes, feel free to rate the podcast or write a review. Thanks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.